Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready?
It's Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier.
Trying to figure out what's going on with the Brady situation.
He's
going to
be there when it counts.
I do think he deserves some criticism for this, don't you?
Tom Brady's going to be ready to play.
But he spent years telling us that it was so important to go to all of these things.
He's going
to
be there when it matters.
You end up winning Super Bowls because of all those little things, the little meetings, right?
But Tom's career has mostly been about, I'm going to go to the film room and watch more film.
Hey, who's the one that has told us over the years how important this is?
It used to be the Patriot way. It's no longer that.
All right, so yeah, I'm so angry. Brady's not there.
With Glenn, Lou, and Christian.
And it's the Celtics.
LeBron James with another virtuoso playoff performance.
I put the work in day in and day out on my body, working on my game every day.
It's all about sacrifice.
Right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
All right, this next hour being brought to you by 495 Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. I find it interesting. I'm looking at the social media here between Twitter and our little text line here. People are pissed if you say something negative about Brady. Because we're getting, Lou and I are getting a lot of shut-ups, which is what we got from one of our co-hosts here for the first hour of the program. We're getting a lot of shut-ups, and it's because, as they're pointing out, you know, Tom Brady has won how many Super Bowls, and he's been to others, and he's done this, and he's done. So are you telling me because of all of that, he deserves zero criticism when he defies something that he has told us all along, lectured us, in telling us how important it is that you show up for the OTAs, that it pays off when you play during the summer, when you get to the games in the regular season.
See, I
when you get
to the
postseason
for the start of training camp.
Thank
it was
you.
It was to me, it was always less about like what you can get out of it, you know, and you know, into the regular season. It was more about just letting everybody know what your commitment level was. Like, that's what it was to me. Because when I think about it, when I look back at those years, like, the younger guys take a lot of the reps. You know, you have one session here and there, and you run some routes. But really, towards the closer you get, like, the less you do. The older you are, the less you do.
Okay, I get that.
But isn't it more about, like, it's not really about on the field. It's more about discussions that Brady would have with these guys?
With new personnel.
No, it is important, but to me, the bigger issue was, listen, the message that Brady was always able to send was that, you know what, even though I'm more important than you, I have more money than you, I've accomplished more than you, I'm just an everyday guy just like you.
I'm here.
Yeah, I'm here just like everybody else.
That message is gone.
That to me was the most important message. He's eating with the guys. He doesn't have some separate room. You know, he's not doing this. It's like, that's how you develop a team.
I agree, but also it's developing chemistry with guys.
No, that's part of it.
Because
yeah, a relationship.
Well, I'm just saying, like, let's just say Tom Brady was at OTAs in, like, last year. Let's say Brandon Cooks was, you know, not in camp because he was kind of dealing with some contract issues. Then they showed up in camp. You know, I guarantee at some point I've been like, well, yeah, you know, when it was hard because we didn't work together in OTAs, you know, early in this relationship to kind of get comfortable with each other. So we're behind a little bit here in camp to try to get on the same page and for him to understand what we're doing, what we need to do, or what I want him to do. So now if he gets into camp and maybe that relationship with Jordan Matthews or Kenny Britt or any of these new guys, they're not on the same page, he can look himself in the mirror as to reasons why they're not on the same page. It's because of you. You didn't show up. You didn't form that relationship. And with these new wide receivers.
Do you remember the
year?
It's not even like, when I think about it, when it comes to the contract. So you're telling me that you want to send a message, but you just don't really want to push too hard. You don't want to really punch him right in their nose. You just want to just kind of flirt
a little
bit.
I think this is a big push.
This is as rough as it's going to get. So if you're the Patriots, like, oh, no, our guys are falling behind. They're never going to overcome it. They're never going to recover. Jordan Matthews is not going to know what to do. So it's.
Is there a chance that Kraft, Belichick, whatever, Don Yee was like, we want more money. We want two more years. And they had the discussion. And it was just the Patriots side is, what are we worried about? We got him for two more years.
Correct.
It's Tom. He'll show up. He'll be at OTAs. He's always at OTAs. He knows how important this time of year is. He knows how valuable this time is in building relationships. He'll be there. He'll show up. No questions asked. And then all of a sudden it's, wait, Tom's not here? Yeah, Tom's not there. You know why? Because we're serious about our freaking deal, Bill. Coming from Don Yee.
Yes, and I also believe that ultimately, in the end, Kraft wants to keep Brady happy. Kraft believes that he's almost indebted
and
to
him. And this might have been a little bit of a wake-up
call. At what cost, though? I mean,
well, no, listen, there is a reality to this. And if Drew Brees didn't re-sign a two-year deal with a bunch of money, with an option, and basically giving you the template to how you address Brady, I mean, that's what you do. And forget about the age and forget about what you think. He's going to be one of the top three quarterbacks in the league. Can we just say that?
Yeah, but we don't know if Tom Brady is going to play for 2 years, which he's under contract now. And Kraft already told you he was comfortable with it. Might have lied a little bit when he said the other side was comfortable, because I'm with Lou. I don't think the other side is comfortable with the deal right now. But how can they give him more money when they don't know whether he is going to play till he's 45? I thought it was very interesting that Don Yee came out. It was Don Yee that came out and clarified after we had watched the documentary and thought maybe Tom is going year to year. Remember that? And Don Yee came out and said, no, nothing has changed. Tom wants to play until his mid-40s, right?
Yeah, he's got to oversell it, though. He's got to play to 46.
So if it's not a contract issue, why did Don Yee come out and correct something that Tom Brady said? And his wife and his family and the documentary, the filmmaker said, why did he have to come out and correct that? No. Because he wants two more years.
No, I don't think he'll get 2 years at it. I think when we were talking about the Gronk situation, what would Gronk's contract look like? And was there like three options or
it's
something like that?
It's incentive laden.
He's going to end up being the highest paid tight end. He'll end up
if he shows up every
he'll
week.
Eclipse him. No, but there's some that are attainable and there's some that aren't. And right. What I look at is the ones that are attainable, yeah, but not the crazy ones at the end of the contract.
Yeah, but you're protected if he misses 12 games next year.
No, that's fine.
That's what the Patriots are going to do.
But Gronk didn't want that. More.
But Gronk didn't want that. He's got to deal with that because that's the best he's going to get. But Gronk didn't want that. Didn't he ridicule this past year the whole idea about the incentive-laden contract, which he achieved?
So you have to find a way to build his base.
Only
up.
Because he was all pro.
Yeah. And I mean, now that is how difficult that
just,
is.
If it was just based on incentives, you know, catches, touchdowns, receptions, all those things, yards, then I think he would have lost $2.5 million, roughly, you know, less than he would have. But simply because he made all pro, he made that extra couple million dollars. That had him reach his max. But how controllable is that? He could have a good year, and it could be somebody else who has a better year.
Correct.
So he could have, you know, the year, the idea of the Patriots to sit there and say, okay, if you have a Gronk season, you deserve to get paid max dollar, 10.5. He could have a Gronk season, but Travis Kelce could go for 18 touchdowns and 1,200 yards and be the all-pro. He's right. No control over that.
But do you think Brady's going to take an incentive-laden contract?
No.
No way.
Both these guys aren't in camp right now.
Right.
So it does seem like
Gronk
it's very...
makes sense, though, because...
Well, that's what I mean. Like, why?
Can't get
why,
hurt
why,
before the 24th.
Okay, so is that why? Is that why we're sort of like, Gronk's not there, no big deal?
Yes.
Like, I don't have a big deal with it because I feel like Gronk's job is to be on the same page with his quarterback, which he is. It's not like if there was a new quarterback in Foxborough right now, if Brady was gone and there was a new quarterback, I would say Gronk needs to be there and work with this kid. Gronk doesn't need to be there to work with Tom. They're on the same page. But, I mean, he is not there. So it's no big deal.
I think this is a big deal.
It's more about Brady is the point.
Of course it is.
Because he's working with others.
Right. There are a lot of new players. We saw this last year in that documentary that Brady was bitching in the car about not being on the same page with
Cooks. Can't get these guys on the same page.
Exactly. That was the first game of the season. That was the Kansas City game, wasn't it?
And it's going to take some time, Tom.
Giselle's saying
it's like a relationship.
New friends.
It's a relationship.
It's like
a
new dance partner.
It's going to take time, but right now, you're missing out on time.
But Tom was there right from the get-go, right from the beginning last April, right? He was there, right, from May. He was there. April and May, he was there. He's not here now. I think it's a factor, Christian. I really do.
No, I'm not saying that it's... I'm not saying that's what it's all about. It just isn't. I think this is probably more complicated than anyone can really understand.
Maybe.
All the different layers and different people that are involved and different issues. You couple that with, you know, the age and, you know, what he appreciation and everything right. else, his business aspirations, everything else. You know what? This is what he wants to accomplish. Right. This is what Bill wants to accomplish.
I would say this. The biggest problem you have with this in a talk show is I don't think there are enough people that are willing to be critical of Tom Brady right now. And I get it. I understand it. He's been the best in the business, the best probably that's ever played the position. But he's doing something right now that is out of character. He's doing something that goes against something that he already told us is one of the reasons why he's the greatest. Because he does show up at all of these. He does treat himself like he's one of 53, not number one. He treats him, he deals with other players in the, all treated the same way. But now suddenly he wants it to be different. He's 40 years old. He wants it to be different. But people aren't going to – we're not going to get a yin and a yang here. We're not going to get people calling up arguing that point. If anything, we're going to get people who are sitting there, lay off of Brady. I'm seeing it right now, looking at the text line. Lay off Brady. He's great. Sure. He's terrific. He's wonderful. We get that. We understand he's great. We're not saying that we don't want Brady to be the quarterback of this team. I'd like it if he could be the quarterback at 70 with this team. We're just saying that in this instance, there's something going on here. He's doing something. Something is happening here. He's, you know, trying to use his leverage a little bit. He's doing something that is out of the Tom Brady ordinary stage, correct?
Yeah, but you again, like the leverage.
I do think he deserves some criticism for this, don't you?
Thank you. He's not going to use his leverage. He's never going to use it. But what we're seeing right now is it's convenient, I guess, and for everything that's going on, but the leverage, he's never had more leverage. Well, in the last 3 years, he's never had more leverage.
Suppose he
no lawsuits,
then he's
no
using
young quarterback who's actually already proven that he can play. You know, age is not being held against him because there is no replacement. He could easily tell them all to go screw. He could, as far as like putting them in a tough situation, like you really want to play chicken? All right, we'll play chicken. Let's go right now. Okay, I'm going to wait to June 3rd, and then I'm going to call you and say, you know what, I'm not going to be there.
I think this is,
and then I'm going to tell you, you know what, my bad.
I think this already was a message.
I tell you, I am going to show up. My bad. I am going to show up. I'm dedicated. And then I'm going to start showing up at Gillette Stadium, working out. And then you know what? The day before camp opens, sorry, I'm not showing up.
When he didn't show up for phase one, right, we sat there and said, no big deal. It's conditioning. He doesn't work out with those guys. He and Gronk don't train with this staff. They train with Guerrero. It's no big deal. But back then, did you think he was going to be there for phase three? Did you back
no,
then?
No,
did you
I
sit
did
there
not.
And say
no.
that when they start throwing footballs and 7-on-7, 11-on-11, and work with
no.
the young players, you didn't think he was going to be there?
The only time I thought he was going to be there was when mandatory minicamp. Yeah. And I'm not going to, and I think it's got to be killing him in some part of his, like, just being that he's not there.
What do you think he's like back home? You think he's enjoyable? Well, his team is practicing. You think Giselle at some point says, why don't you just go? Just go down to the field. You're a football player. I know you. I married you. Just go play. This is eating at you. The kids are at school. What are you doing?
If you were going to make a pie chart, okay, and then honestly, okay, and then you try and figure out the percentages of what is the biggest catalyst to all this.
Yeah.
Family would be part of it.
Small.
The contract is definitely part of it.
Big.
But I would say the biggest piece of the pie would be ultimately the just general irritation and begrudgery
we call that,
that went on.
We call that Bill.
What went on during the season. And then
so,
and that's what I would – that's
so the
how
biggest
I would kinda,
reason he's not there is because of Bill.
Well, you can call it Bill. You can call it Bill. I think it has a lot to do with it. Yeah.
It's not nothing. I would bet you anything that Bill and Kraft are talking about this, even though Bill won't talk about it with the media. This is being talked about behind closed doors. They're trying to figure out how they deal with this right now because it is it becomes a distraction for them. All right, back to the phone calls. Here's Billy in Manchester. What's up, Billy?
Yeah, I will criticize. He's being a diva, and he's a child, is what he is, and he's a liar too. Because
oh, liar!
He's not
ooh,
about
good one.
He's a liar. Well, listen, when you have the most photographed,
you know,
one in the world, you can't say it's family because just on Sunday, she was on the Daily Mail being harassed, traveling the world promoting her book in Portuguese. So she's not home with him either. So,
so who's got the kids?
Diva move.
Nanny.
Like you said,
Ben Affleck.
Nanny, right, exactly. And which kid? The bi-coastal kid? Anyway, it definitely, just because he couldn't get his guru inside his little
guru.
It's like that's the snotty way of saying it.
Guru. Yeah.
You know, when you really think Something's about it, somebody just texted it, and it's so true. Like, just they're all just acting like babies.
Yes.
Honestly, stubborn?
Yeah.
Diva babies, whatever you want to call it. Like, for the first time. That's all. It's just something. We're seeing something different. And if people can't realize if you've seen something different, I got no hope. There's no hope for you. But, yeah, it's just, Tom, get your ass to the field. Gronk, get your ass to the field. Bill, just freaking relax a little bit with your two superstar players that are one of the best that have ever played at their position. Just everybody lighten up.
Yeah, and if I'm Brady, I don't think I want the public to know or to think that it's about money.
Correct.
I don't think,
because no, he's never been.
That's right.
Yeah, because when I asked you, like, so if he signs a contract, he can't show up after he signs a contract. Then it shows and proves to everybody that it was about money, and he won't do it.
Well,
he's got to play it out.
But part of
he's
feeling
play it out.
Part of feeling appreciated, not all of it, but most times it is about money. Now with him, I think maybe there's some other things involved, but you know, one way to feel appreciated is to show me the money.
Well, a good back rub sometimes. I mean, somebody treats
that's not
going
to work. That's not going to work. Yeah, I'd like to get he owe me about 7 lunches. Here's Bill in Framingham. Hello, Bill.
Hello, guys. I want to say I can't believe Tom Brady hasn't done this before. He's held out. I mean, he signed for less money so the team could get better with better players around him. Now he sees guys like Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, Drew Brees, all these quarterbacks making double what he's going to be making this year, and he's the best. Why wouldn't it? It's natural just to say, hey, listen, guys, you know, I've been good, but you know what? These guys are making twice as much as me. You got to step up to the plate here. Well, you know what? I'm not playing. Have fun with Brian Hoyer.
Right.
You know?
That's very understandable when you see all the money everybody else is getting. Now, a lot of those deals where he took less money, he did it to facilitate the team so that they could get additional players to help him. And then, in the end, he still got his money. But I would agree with you. He played the game with them. But he should have known when he played the game that he wasn't going to be anywhere close to the highest paid quarterback in the league. You elected to do it that way. You didn't take it all for yourself. And that's what we loved about you. So you can't suddenly now turn it around and say, now I want it all for me, and it's no longer about the team, and expect that people are going to sit there and applaud you again. We applauded you for being that guy. Now I'm not going to applaud you for being the opposite guy, the guys that we couldn't stand that just wanted all the money for themselves.
Well, it's one thing to get paid a little more than Tom Brady, but when you get paid double for more than Tom Brady, and you haven't done anything.
Yeah, but that's the game.
None of them. Then if I was Brady, I'd say, hey, look, you know what? Jimmy Garoppolo got $27 million. If you were going to franchise him, you were going to pay him that anyway. I want that money, the money you were going to pay to franchise him.
Right. Well, it was the crazy thing we ran into last year when we were talking about people were calling up. People were on the radio sitting there going, you got to keep Garoppolo, and you got to keep both Brady and Garoppolo. And you looked at Garoppolo and said, $24 million for Garoppolo. And then everybody said, well, Brady's making $14 million. Well, no, Brady was not going to take $14 million when the backup quarterback was making $10 million more than him. There was no way that was going to play out.
A deal will be done. I mean, I think they'll rip up the two and give him 3 years, $75, $80 million, something
maybe.
Like that.
Yeah, like a Drew Brees deal.
Sure. And I think it'll get done. I don't know why it's not done already. I mean, I think a lot of us thought the season
first
was over.
Maybe Gronk's in pole position.
Over time?
Yeah, but I think Gronk's is so different.
Because maybe it's easier.
Yeah.
It is easier.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but I think Gronk's is already done.
It's all incentive,
too. Picking the date that they needed. I mean, Miguel had the deal. We don't have to give him 2 more years. You can just give him what they have right now.
Right.
Throw some a signing bonus. And you know, the cap goes to like 11 and 6.15.
Where's the risk, though, guys?
The NFL equivalent of the All-Star break is what during the summer. There's like a week and a half where it's like the dead zone.
It's the second
week
of July.
Nothing happens.
We will be on vacation that week. He's smart.
Yeah, we'll be here.
He got first dibs on that week.
All-Star break?
Oh, yeah. He's playing dumb now. I don't know what you're talking about.
That's my week.
Yeah, it's always his week. Nobody messes with that.
I always said
I think you'd want to be around for the All-Star week.
Here's the thing.
Baseball guy, right?
No, because my whole career, I always have the All-Star game off. So I've always, it's tradition. I've always had those 3 days off all my entire life. Yeah. So I just feel like it's just something I need.
But you got to look at, there's a huge difference between Gronk and Brady here in that Gronk, it's going to be all incentive laden, something he's probably not thrilled about, but that's the only way he's going to get it. And his base is going to be a lot higher because it was from last year. Brady's deal has got a lot of risk in it. One, he's 40 years old, and he could fall off the cliff, to use somebody's line.
Cliff is coming.
Very quickly.
Still better. He's still a top 10 quarterback falling off the cliff.
Two, based on some of the cryptic messages he's distributed, he could decide next year, screw it, I'm out. After they give him a gigantic bonus payment this year. That's the problem. There's risk in that Brady deal. They have to figure a way to structure that. That's why I think Lou's right. 3 years, and maybe you do it equally, payments
third
each
year is
one
an
of
option.
The year.
That third year is
right.
an option.
Right.
And you don't do guarantee it, and you him do two, it equally. And that third year will be an option.
But you can't, I don't think, give him a big, huge bonus up front, thinking he's going to be around for 4 years, two in the present contract and two more, and then find out that he leaves in a year, and you're sitting there with all this dead money. All right, 617-779-7937. Interesting reaction to the Celtics in the two games in Cleveland. Suddenly, the national take on it is they're bums. They suck. We'll get to some of that. And Brad Stevens, not that good a coach. We'll get to all of that coming up.
Let's get back to OMF.
That's like your thing.
Oh, you have no balls.
I'd be the first one to admit there are times I have no balls.
Do you have no balls at times, right?
Like when you're sitting in a studio with Trenny.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
I'm just getting sick and tired. I'm just getting sick and tired of the Boston Celtics.
Why?
I've seen enough. They're overrated. They got exposed in game 3 and exposed in game 4 for what they were. They were the 18th ranked offense in the entire NBA, and that was with Kyrie Irving, and Kyrie is in street clothes. Cleveland now leads this series 2-2. Just put it that way, because they lead the series because they are in control of this series. They're going to win game 5. They're going to win game 6. It is over.
He's a dope.
Sounds like a local.
He's a dope.
It is over.
I mean, Skip Bayless sounds like this is the first game he's ever watched in his life. He gave the offensive rating. What about defensive rating? Skip, where were they
the
rated defensive?
Rating?
No, the Celtics versus the Cavaliers defense during the course of the season, because he said they were overrated.
Well, the thing, I always hate, like, the overrated. Are they overrated? Well, first you got to tell me how you rate them.
Exactly.
You know, did you think they were going to beat the Golden State Warriors, John Tomasi? Because if you did, then you overrated them.
Well, that's what's happening, Lou. Everybody's moving the goalpost on a daily basis when it comes to this series.
Not me.
And I'll stick with what I said. It's a simple.
Me too. Celts in 5.
Celts in 7.
Stay with it. It's a simple series to figure out. And that is that you've got a bunch of young players who I think have got phenomenal upside. They're terrific at home. And on the road, they just don't play the same.
See, I think that's
not out of line with great young players. Go back and look at Golden State in the early years with these young players. They don't, young players, even though they're going to be great stars 2-3 years from now, that first couple of years, they don't necessarily do it.
I just find it interesting that how a team that I believe was underrated is now overrated.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Because you would think. Underrated because nobody thought that they would, you know, maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie Irving. And then, of course, the Jaylen Brown thing against Philly was, you know, you didn't think he was going to play anymore. So I understand that. But once he played, you sat there and said, well, they're better than Philly.
Well, even Marcus Smart, too, at the beginning.
And Marcus Smart, so the whole, they were a mess coming into postseason. So
everyone's opinion changed, obviously.
So Marcus Smart got hurt before the playoffs started. You're going to miss him in the first round. Kyrie Irving was not going to be able to play at all during the postseason. And Jaylen Brown, you thought, tore his hamstring, was going to miss the rest of the postseason. Yet they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'd say that's underrated.
Can we go back?
We didn't give him a chance.
Well, now it's Skip.
But I understand how the narrative has changed.
Well, did Skip watch those first two games?
Yes, matter of fact, do you remember him the first two?
Oh, they're awesome.
Yes, remember him the first two?
Yeah.
That's what he did.
Yeah, now they're exposed.
Right. So the first two, everybody was ripping George Hill, the national people. J.R. Smith is useless. Jeff Green is useless. Jordan Clarkson, why did they even have him on the team? Larry Nance Jr., why did they even make that trade? We went through all of that list. list. Now, over the last two games, what are we all saying? Wow, George Hill, aggressive, has come to play. Wow, JR's making some big buckets for them. Oh, my God. Corver's not only great at the offensive end,
he's a defensive
at the defensive end. We're basing it all on the venue.
See, I would say
that's
that
all this is.
We have, I think the Celtics actually have been underrated. And I think the reasons why the narrative changed in this series is because we felt like we overrated the Cavs. Because, you know, after they won those first two games, I said, I don't think the Cavs are very good. I still think the Celtics are a better team than the Cleveland Cavaliers.
I agree with you.
You know, I don't think the Cavs think they have a good enough team to win it all. So it was really more about, I think the Cavs were actually overrated. But the Celtics team, without Kyrie Irving getting the Eastern Conference Finals 2-2 versus LeBron, you're telling me they're overrated?
No.
I don't think anybody thought they were going to get there.
This is all ludicrous. I mean, they went seven games against Milwaukee, and we all thought they were going seven games against Milwaukee. Notice the difference. Notice the splits home and away. Look at the numbers. And by the way, Al Horford's in that same group. He's not a great player. He was average last night because he was playing on the road. I'll bet anybody he'll be above average tomorrow. Abby will be raving about Al Horford when the game is over. We've seen this movie over and over and over again, and yet people go from one end of the spectrum to the other. John Tomasi predicting after the first two games, Celtics are going to win the whole thing. They could beat Golden State. John, they're lucky if they win a freaking game against Golden State. The first two games are going to be on the road. Golden State's going to take a 2-0 lead in the series. And then it's a matter of can you when you're on the edge of elimination in game three, can you fight back the best team in the league? I doubt it. Matter of fact, I'd say this about Cleveland. I think Cleveland's going to have trouble winning a game against Golden State if Cleveland gets to that point.
Well, I can understand how, you know, you sit there and you go seven against Milwaukee, you handle Philadelphia in five, and where everyone thought, oh, no, Philly's going to just run all over
them. But you know why? Lou already said it, because they didn't think Jaylen Brown was part of the series.
I know, but
he turned to be the key in the series.
Then you take the first two games in resounding fashion. And looking like Cleveland has no heart, no guts, no nothing.
Okay, let's bring this question up because I know people keep on throwing Al Horford into the equation. We talked about this during the regular season. Why would the Celtics, during the course of this regular season, why were the Celtics pretty damn good? Why were they?
Well, two players.
Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum.
Thank you. Jason Tatum became, as the number three pick in the draft, was a guy that was giving you unbelievable production for a rookie.
Well, you
phenomenal.
Yeah, you were going to be, you're good. I mean, you had Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
All right? But, like, you know, yeah, the reasons why you had the year you had, and it was those two kids.
Yeah,
the development of those two kids.
Because you lost Haywood. Everybody thought they were done, Lou.
I mean, if Tatum was just overmatched as a 19-year-old kid, we would have sat there and said, what do you expect?
Right.
You know, he just turned 20 years old, his first year in the league. I mean, he's going to show, like Jaylen Brown, he's going to have his moments. He's going to have his games. We say the potential is there. There it is. But then he's going to go back and look like a rookie.
Okay, so let's fast forward now.
And it didn't.
Fast forward to the postseason. Why are the Celtics winning these home games? Because Jaylen Brown's getting them off to a terrific start in the first quarter. Okay? And Jason Tatum has been scoring at home. He actually has put some points up on the road, but he makes a lot of mistakes, and he's a defensive liability in a lot of these road games because he's just overmatched being on the road. And why? Because he's 20 years old. Because the other kid's 21. And they're going on the road up against seasoned veterans, including a guy who's, what, 33 years old, and maybe the greatest player who's ever played the game, certainly the best in the game today. I mean, this is all predictable. It's not a matter of overrated or underrated. They are what they are. They're a team that have a lot of really good young players. They're going to get a terrific player back next year who is a seasoned vet at 25 or 26 in Kyrie Irving and a terrific player in Gordon Haywood, and they may make some moves in the offseason. Their upside, their window here is probably the next 6, 7, 8 years.
Yeah, and the other thing is, like, can you please, listen, guys, we're going back home, and I get it, it's huge, but really, all you have to do, you're telling me, like, my others – Can you please outplay Kyle Korver, George Hill, Nance Jr., and Tristan Thompson? Can we please just outplay those guys?
Well, you will.
You're not going to outplay LeBron James.
So Christian, will you get it, and people will do this. They swing from like a chandelier
swing,
going back
swing
and
both
forth,
ways.
Right? You're right. So the Celtics tomorrow night, I wouldn't be surprised at all if they go out and win that game by 10, 12 points, 15 points. They win that game at the Garden tomorrow night. Are we going to make the same mistake and say, it's over? Series is over.
I would just
Tomasi's going to give them the trophy. It's over.
If that happens,
they're going to win in game six. It's over.
I would just sit all my starters. I would sit them all. I'm not kidding.
Rest.
Why bother? Why bother? Why waste the energy?
Give Ubaselli about 42 minutes.
Yeah, put them all in there, and then Larkin, he'll be back soon. Put him in there, let him start, and then just rest up.
Does anybody believe if the Celtics win that game tomorrow night that LeBron James, who I think has got an ego, he kind of cares what people say about him. Does anybody think he's going down in flames in game six, which could be the last game he plays in a Cleveland Cavalier uniform? Anybody think that's going to happen in game six?
Well, that, you know, like you said, game seven, you like the Celtics or the Cavs?
I like the Celtics because I think they can win at home. And the one thing I said that guys made fun of me.
I thought yesterday you said the Cavs.
No, I said to you.
You said you can't bet against LeBron in game seven.
Let me explain what I said again. Because the guys made fun of me when I said this at the beginning of the series. It's a seven-game series. Mm-hmm. I think the Celtics can win all of the home games. They earn this home court advantage, and it's the thing that they can do now. They can win at home. They can't do a lot of this other stuff, but they can win at home. And guess what? They get four games at home, and the other team gets three. What I'm scared of is that when you get into a one-game elimination, the one guy beat you single-handedly is LeBron James.
Well, it's the Brady effect.
It doesn't matter what you have or what you're doing. You don't have the best player ever to play, so
that's always the toughest, right? They always say that. Is that a rational take? Yeah,
rational
it is. No, it is, because in an elimination game, sending a great team or a great player is one of the toughest things to do.
Yep.
Right? Because you know they're coming out with everything they have.
Yep.
So game seven here in the parquet, you have to take down the greatest player, you know, in the world right now.
Correct.
I still think they will.
And LeBron can walk away from that game seven if he loses it and puts up 44, has 15 rebounds, has 12 assists. He could sit there and say, well, it was my fault. It was all the role players. What did George Hill give you tonight? Nothing. What did Korver give you? Nothing. What did JR give you? Nothing. All right, 617-779-7937, our phone number right here on OMF.
Christian rants about the Pats, Sox, B's, and C's, courtesy of Twitter, at Christian Fourier. Right now, we return to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier on Sports Radio WEEI.
Did the Celtics blow the series last night?
I wouldn't say they blew the series. It remains to be seen, but it's looking daunting for them, I'll tell you that much. Mm-hmm. I've got the Cavaliers winning the series in six games. I'm not going to go as far as to say they blew it, because I anticipated that they would lose these two games on the road. Game five is everything. We all understand that, as far as I'm concerned anyway. But I will tell you again, I picked Cleveland to win in six, and that's really what I'm coming down to. If you want to classify that as saying they blew the series, so be it.
See, Stephen A's full of it right now because he went off of that after the first two games. I remember us talking about it. Stephen A sat there and said, I don't think Celtics get four games at home, and I'm not sure they can be beaten at home. I'm not sure the Cavaliers are up to the task. So why are we suddenly shifting so dramatically our opinion? Because the Cavaliers did what virtually every other team does in the NBA. And that's the whole serve on the two games that are played on their court.
Well, I would agree. But when you think about game five, if the Celtics win game five, then they got a good shot of winning this thing, right? But if they lose, then it is over.
Well, that's a different story. You can't lose. And if I'm LeBron James, I'm looking at it this way, Lou, because I think he realizes he's not getting much in game five or game seven from the rest of his crew. He knows he can get it there at the Quicken Loans Arena. He's not getting it in Boston. He's seen it far too often. He's seen it during the course of the season. Go look at what they did in the run. He knows it. So he's looking at it right now saying, all we need to do is win one of these games in Boston, and the whole series has shifted. One game, whether it's five or game seven. So I would tell you this. There's no question that Cleveland, because of LeBron James being the great player he is, have a better chance of winning a road game than the Celtics do. Celtics have nobody on that team. Two of the two most important guys on the team, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, one of them was hardly in the rotation last year in the playoffs, and the other one was in college. And you're expecting them to go on the road
and win against
a LeBron James team? You're crazy.
Well, you're telling me that the pressure is finally getting to them. The circumstances, the course of events is finally starting to be too much for them to handle. right? So Jaylen Brown, who has not been playing like a rookie, Jason Tatum, who has not been playing like a second year guy, and Jason Tatum could be the rookie of the year. Like, now is when all the pressure starts to mount.
Yeah, but I think they'll be good tomorrow night because I hate to say it, it's simplistic here. Unfortunately, it's bad for the NBA, but this is the most simple formula in the world. Unless you're really, really good, okay? I'll give it to you, Kirk. Really, really good. Okay? Yeah, which the only team that can do this, I think, is Golden State, and it's not a coincidence. They're the only team that's won on the road so far, okay? Unless you're really good.
Well, I mean, you're talking about this series.
Yes, in the conference finals. You can't do it. It's just the Celtics are a good team. They just don't have anybody on that roster. Kyrie obviously would give them that player. They don't have a player that's going to go out there and punch the other guy out on the road.
This is like a whole bigger issue we start talking about.
It's a big issue for the league.
NBA.
Bad games.
Like, just go back the old way. Go to the 2-3-2. Go back to that way.
That was different with 2-3-2.
See
how
that creates. And then you're forced to have to win a game on the road.
You're right.
You can't just kind of lay it out there and just, we'll just wait till we'll go back home to close it out.
Yeah, but they only did the finals in 2-3-2, so they didn't do the conference finals. So we would still have the same problem. The conference finals, you did 2-2-1-1,
Yeah, it was going to create different issues, though. I mean, if the Celtics, let's say 2-3-2, and they, we're up 3-2 coming home, you'd say, last two games at home, no shot for Cleveland. They got to beat them both games at home. So you're always going to create kind of dilemma. Because that had all the makings of if they were Houston or Cleveland. When that game got to like 14, they could have lost that game by 30 and just said, we'll see you game 5.
Right.
I mean, because it was that close. Right. I mean, if they didn't push back on a couple different occasions, they could have lost that game by 30 easily.
Yeah, I think.
So that's your silver lining.
There is some silver lining.
Yeah,
in that
I would agree.
Because they fought back a couple of times.
It's funny. I saw a silver lining as well, and I thought the two young kids that you rely on the most showed me something in the second half because they were not willing to do what Lou just said, throw the towel and give in. I heard the biggest green teamer of them all, Mike Gorman, though, after the game on NBC Sports Boston, and he got no redeeming value out of this game. He thought that they were punchless and they were just outplayed. He thought it was more of Cleveland kind of just saying, we got this. This team is a pushover in the second half. I saw some good stuff in that second half. I really did. But here's the other one that's very interesting. So talk about overrating. And we've had this conversation many times before. How good a coach is Brad Stevens? I think all three of us believe he's a really good coach. I also think most of us believe that the players are more important than the coach. I mean, you'd have some people believing in this town that if you had an option of taking either LeBron James or Brad Stevens, there'd be some people in this town, basketball nerds, who would sit there and say, oh, no, I'll take Brad Stevens over. I take the player over the coach every single time. So how has Brad Stevens gone from being this unbelievable coach where people are willing to not only put him in the same conversation with Greg Popovich, but maybe putting him slightly ahead of Popovich, to now suddenly he's a stiff and he can't handle foul situations? And I thought last night he poorly managed Marcus Morris in foul trouble last night. But guess what? Marcus Morris was the one that got himself into foul trouble. So when we're talking about players doing good things, the same thing happens on the flip side where players just don't get the job done. They do bad things. And what do people do when the game's over? They blame the coach. What was the example you gave on NBC Sports Boston the other night where they were blaming?
Oh, Sherrod with Al in game 4. He only had 4 shots.
Right.
And he blamed Brad for not getting Al his shot.
That's ludicrous.
But Brad Stevens is one of the best coaches in the NBA.
Yes.
I mean, and that's the problem is when you start coming in, okay, now let's rank the top 5. Now we've got issues, because then but the bottom line is he's one of the top 5 coaches in the NBA, maybe top 3. I don't care what order you put him in. But it just I don't put that game last night on Brad Stevens.
No, I think he was, when I say he was one of the best coaches in the league, he is. But we overrated what his impact is on a game. The players have the biggest impact. So he can sit there and he can tell Jason Tatum till he's blue in the face what it's going to be like when you're playing a big game on the road against a great player. He can do the same thing to every one of those players. But guess what? When they go out on the floor and they fall flat on their face, and then what do you hear at the end of the game? The announcers are sitting there going, oh, my God, Tyronn Lue had some adjustments here. He really messed them up with these switches. And the whole way. Are you kidding me?
Well, for example, last night you said you can only say so much. right? So the Celtics have the ball with at the end of the first quarter with what? I don't know, 20. They're actually no shot clock. And Brad's like, last shot. And Jaylen Brown, that's when he missed the dunk.
Screwed it up.
Should have hit the dunk.
Yeah.
You know, and you could have very easily said, well, you know, that's a pretty good shot. Open lane. Just finish the dunk.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens was livid.
Yeah, he was.
He was pissed at Jaylen Brown for not holding for the last shot and allowing Cleveland to come down. I think LeBron missed it at the buzzer, but when the buzzer went off at the end of the first quarter,
he was pissed.
He ran right to Jaylen Brown like, what the hell are you doing?
He did.
I told you last shot.
Yeah, I saw him a couple times.
But it was a clear dunk. It wasn't like it was a bad shot. He didn't force anything.
No. I saw him a couple times in Rozier's face, basically trying to explain to him the switches. You could see it. He's moving his hands or whatever. So you can talk to your blue in the face if the players don't do it. I'm sorry. It's a players' league. But guess what? Nationally on these shows, the TV shows, it's all about Brad Stevens.
Here's where Brad Stevens has a problem in these playoffs. They've lost 6 of 7 road games. And that stands out. That I would look at and I would say something's missing, because when you look at the schism, the divide that exists between how Boston looks in Boston and how they look on the road, that is somewhat alarming.
See, I disagree, because that's more about the youth of this team than anything. Because the one win he did have in the road was Brad Stevens late in that game.
Yeah.
If you remember, in Philly. I mean, he just pantsed Brett Brown.
Right.
Pantsed him. Well, so it's just more. I think it's more about the youth as far as winning in the road.
Yeah, I mean, it's an easy, you know, I guess, thing to identify, especially so LeBron and the Cavs, they win 2 in Toronto, they win 1 in Indiana, right? And then the Golden State, they've already won in Houston, and just kind of, you know, breaking that mold. But I have a hard time believing, like, you keep saying it's so simplistic. I understand, but why can't they just kind of get it through their heads that it isn't?
Hostile environment, game changes.
They're 21, they're 23, and again.
They went to Duke and Kansas Oklahoma State.
But it's different. I know, like, home and road doesn't have that much of an impact in baseball.
Nope.
You know, it's more about starting pitching.
Right.
Okay, but you can see guys, you know, like in the NBA on the road, you can see guys in baseball where the game speeds up on them. You know, they're chasing balls out of the strike zone. They're overly aggressive. It's the guys, they don't slow the game down. They keep it at the same pace of a regular season game. Guy like David Ortiz. You know, you get up to your first pitch, change up, down. You spit on it. The young kid comes out of his shoes and swings through it and is never ahead in the count because he can't be patient enough because it speeds up on him. In the NBA, that's a road game. Because the crowd's in your face.
Yeah.
The crowd's screaming.
Yeah.
So what would Stephen A. Smith say about Doc Rivers? Extremely overrated. 07-18, the one that they won the championship, they were 0-6 in the first two rounds of the playoffs. They couldn't win a road game.
This is nothing new.
Now, they took 2 in Detroit in the Eastern Conference Finals, but it took the Eastern Conference Finals to win a road game for that team. And that was a veteran group.
Right. This is nothing new. It really is nothing new, and it's a problem I think the NBA has. It really does. And by the way, the officiating was horrendous last night. They were calling stuff that you're sitting there going, "Let the game flow a little bit, right?" But I don't think either team got a bad.
No, that wasn't the
official. Bad thing. They just sucked. All right, 617-779-7937. Our phone number. We'll continue talking more about the Celtics, and no show today again for Tom Brady. And Bill Belichick addressed it, sort of.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.